Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. Tonight is study number 60, and presently we are taking a look at the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. We're in verse 10, and I'll read that verse. "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." And that ends the parable of the 10 virgins. Now, we've been looking at other scriptures that have helped us to understand that the 5 wise virgins, when they go into the marriage, that's better understood. They go into the marriage feast or the wedding feast, and at that point, the door is shut. And in the parable, once the door is shut, that the 5 foolish virgins, the other virgins, they then come to the place where the door was shut, and they begin to say, Lord, Lord, open to us. And so tonight, at this time, I thought it'd be good for us to review the teaching of the Bible concerning the shutting of the door. And without any question, the shutting of the door that we're reading about here in this parable is Judgment Day. And the shutting of the door is also something we're familiar with. We've heard quite a bit about, because it was the significance of the date of May 21 in 2011. If you remember, we found out that God was giving the world 7,000 years based upon the statement in Genesis chapter 7. I'm going to go back there and read. Verse 4 says, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights." And we compare this statement with 2 Peter 3 in the context of the flood and of the end of the world. And God said that one day is as 1,000 years. So we realize spiritually that God was saying that yet 7,000 years, and he would bring the judgment upon the world that the flood typified. Well, 7 days later, historically, here in Genesis 7, in verse 11, it says, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open." And then going down to verse 16, "And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and Jehovah shut him in." So after this 7-day period, the flood waters came, judgment came upon the earth. And right before the flood, all of Noah and his family and the animals were safely entered into the ark, and God shut the door. And that's the significance of the 17th day of the 2nd Hebrew month, which we also discovered happened to be the underlying Hebrew date for May 21 of 2011. And that was amazing when we realize that exactly 7,000 years after the flood of 4990 in the year 2011, and on the date of May 21, which was an exact 23 years since the beginning of the Great Tribulation, it was the date the Great Tribulation concluded, that underlying date of the Hebrew calendar matched up perfectly with the very day that God shut the door on the ark in the days of Noah. And we realize that God was letting us know, he was revealing to us, that the door would be open up until that particular date. Now, let's also quickly review what that means, that the door is open, and also the significance of its shutting. In John chapter 10, it says in verse 7, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Say, Christ is the door. He's the portal, the only entry point into heaven. And it's by him, that is, there's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's only through Christ. And anyone who will enter into heaven by him and be saved, well, then they have to go through the door that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But the significance that God was emphasizing and that he wanted shared with the whole world, he broadcast this particular teaching to the world. If you would go back and listen to what was being proclaimed from Family Radio or eBible or others in the days prior to May 21, it was constantly being pointed out that we had from whatever point in time up until the date of May 21, and then the door would shut. The door to heaven would close. There would be no more opportunity to become saved. You know, what we're saying today that some people say is just horrible was being proclaimed for years leading up to May 21. The identical thing we're saying today, that eBible Fellowship is simply being consistent. We are saying the very same thing now that we said then. Of course, the only difference is that we've learned that when Judgment Day did arrive, it was spiritual in nature. It was a judgment of God to shut the door of salvation and to remove the gospel lights, the blessing of salvation from the world, but it was not physical. And we don't know how long this judgment day will be. But otherwise, we're teaching the very same thing. We're sharing the same thing we've been sharing all along, that we were saying leading up to that day, God is going to shut the door. And since that day, we've been saying that God has shut the door. So we're not coming up with anything new when we say this. And we said it before, and we're saying it now, because of what the Bible says, the significance of the flood and it falling 7,000 years later on that particular date when the Great Tribulation ended. You know, that's not just a coincidence that exactly 7,000 years from the flood, one day is 1,000 years, and we come and land on a date that matches perfectly with the very date that God shut the door of the ark. And that date happens to be the last day of a 23-year Great Tribulation since the end of the church age. That's not a coincidence at all. That's the hand of God that was at work and was locking these things into place. And that's why the believer looks at it as we review the information, and we see the biblical calendar is still pointing to May 21. There's been no correction. We haven't found any errors. The Bible, in other words, still insists that it was the day of judgment. And so it's no wonder that we're now finding so many passages and verses that are supporting that idea that Judgment Day has come in a spiritual sense. Well, let's go to Luke 13, and I'm going to read from verse 24. It says, "Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Now notice the strait gate, a gate is the same as a door, and this is the narrow way that the Bible speaks of, and it is that way that is Christ. And then it says in verse 25, "When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Now, once again, we find God shutting the door. He's the one typified by the master of the house. And once he shuts the door, there are others, like in the parable of the 10 virgins, the foolish virgins. But here it doesn't identify them. It just says, ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door. And they're saying the very same thing. Lord, Lord, kurios, kurios. It's repeated twice here, like it was in the parable. And notice what they're requesting or demanding. Open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Now, here we're finding in this context that it is judgment day, and judgment day involves the shutting of the door. That's one thing that is absolutely certain that everyone would have to admit, that the Bible teaches on judgment day that the door is shut. And something else the Bible teaches is that when judgment day comes and God shuts the door, that there will be people, professed Christians, that are going to dispute this idea that the door is shut. They're not going to be happy with it. They're going to try and convince God to open the door. They're crying out, Lord, Lord, as though it were any other point in history. You know, it's a perfectly good thing to cry out to the Lord and to use that name, recognizing that he is Lord. However, the problem is that this is after judgment day has begun and God has shut the door. And so he's not responding to knocking. He's not responding to cries to open the door at all. Actually, he is indicating that it's time for these people to depart from him. Now, if we go to Revelation chapter 22, because in both the parable of the 10 virgins, the virgins came and they were without. We know that, even though the word wasn't used. And Luke 13 does use this word, that they were standing without. And in Revelation 22, it says in verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. And that would be through Christ, of course. And they're going in through the gates of righteousness, who is Christ. And then it says in verse 15, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. That's six groups of those that God is calling dogs and sorcerers and so forth. And that would relate to those involved in works, and no man can enter into heaven through his own work. It will just increase his sinfulness and his guilt. And so here we have the righteous, the children of God, the elect, made righteous by Christ's righteousness and given a new heart to keep his commandments, to do his will. So blessed are they that do his commandments, and they enter in through the gates. But then God is saying there are those without. And we have to ask the question, where is that place that is spoken of as without? What is going on if the believers have been taken into heaven? Well, where are these people? Since we've learned that there's no place called hell, where are they exactly? Now, when we understood the 5 months, when we thought there would be a 5-month duration to Judgment Day, we realize, well, that's where they'll be. They'll be on earth during the 5 months and the believers are taken into heaven. But things didn't work out that way. And yet we have an answer. We have a solution to the question, where is this place without? And the answer is the place is right here in the world at this time. God's people have been brought safely into the ark or into the salvation of God. They are hidden in Christ and they're living out their life in the world along with everyone else. But outside of Christ spiritually, there are these people that are said to be without. And they are knocking at a spiritual door. They're crying out to God, Lord, Lord. There's dispute. There's argument. There's all sorts of people that are upset with the idea that the door is shut, that God is no longer saving people since May 21. And that's why it's spoken of without. It's without the spiritual kingdom, even though all are together on earth. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to find something interesting concerning the location of being without. It says in Matthew 8, in verse 11, "And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now let's compare this. Keep your finger here in Matthew 8 with Luke 13. I didn't finish reading the whole passage there. In Luke chapter 13, it says in verse 27, "But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out, and they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God." Now, this is a parallel statement. We have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and those coming from the east and the west, just as it says in Matthew 8. And it also mentions that these people who are saying, Lord, Lord, are standing without. They are the ones thrust out. God emphasized that in the last verse of verse 28. When they see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that word see is a word know. It could be understood as know from the scriptures. When they have an understanding that the Bible is teaching this, or some are proclaiming this. And what are we proclaiming? That all the elect are safely in the kingdom of God. And notice it says Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets are in the kingdom of God. When these people without hear this information that all whose names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life to be saved have been saved, then it's going to result in weeping and gnashing of teeth from their position of being without. And what Matthew 8 teaches us in verse 12, I'll read it again, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now we have an additional bit of information concerning those that are without. They are in a place of darkness, outer darkness. There's not darkness within the kingdom of God, of course. Christ is light. But outside the kingdom, outside of Christ, outside of the salvation of God in the day of judgment, is a place called outer darkness. It's the place that people are standing without. And what are they doing? They're arguing with God. They're trying to convince God to open up the door. And, you know, I don't know how we can avoid seeing the similarities. Here we find that on May 21, 2011, had been proclaiming, because the Bible taught it, that the door would shut. And ever since May 21, 2011, there has been constant discussion, constant trouble, really, of mine with many people over the matter of whether or not the door is shut. And also on May 21 in 2011, it was immediately after the tribulation. The Bible tells us the sun was darkened, the moon no longer gave its light, and the stars fell from heaven. This resulted spiritually in darkness encompassing the earth. The whole world lieth in darkness on that very day. So we have all the same ingredients that we're reading about here in these passages. We have God shutting the door when the master of the house rises up, just like God shut the door of the ark. Noah didn't shut the door, and it wasn't the servant that shut the door in the parable of Luke 13, but the master of the house shut the door. It's God who opens, and it's God who shuts. And what he opens, no man can shut. And what he shuts, no man can open. And so we find many are arguing over this very point that the door has been shut. And from God's vantage point, they are arguing from without, and they are arguing in a place of outer darkness. And in other words, it's a pretty serious thing for someone to take this point of view, to be crying out, as we read in the Bible, Lord, Lord, open unto us. We don't want to go contrary to the will of God. If God has shut the door, well, we can only, in agreement and desiring to accept the perfect will of God, that's what we as believers follow. We don't determine the gospel. We don't determine when the church age is ongoing and when the church age ends. We don't determine when it's the day of salvation and when it's no longer the day of salvation. We don't determine when the door is open and when the door is shut. We're doorkeepers. And if we're commanded open up the door and fling it wide open and keep it that way while a great multitude comes in, we gladly do so. And if we're instructed to shut the door that we have to share with people, the door is shut, well, we, with sorrow, even though still we delight to do the will of God, with sorrow, we share that with people. You know, this has always been the case with the people of God. In Revelation 11, the Lord speaks of the two witnesses. In verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. And then it says in verse 5, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power or authority to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. It's always been the case that God has given authority to his people to carry forth his word. And if God opened up information concerning, for instance, the end of the church age, well, then God's people would share that. And in a sense, they shut heaven upon the churches. or actually what we're reading of the two witnesses would be true of denominations or individual churches during the church age, but it's the same truth. When we shared with people, the church age was over. It shut heaven to the churches, and now it's expanded, it's grown, it's spread across the face of the earth, and so we must share. We have to tell people that heaven now is shut to the world. And this is what's in view as we're reading this parable in Matthew chapter 25. Well, we're going to stop here, and we'll pick up once again tomorrow night, maybe just for a little bit in this parable, Lord willing, and then we'll go back to our study in 1 Samuel.